This week on the Upon Official Review podcast, the guys talk Flyers playoff chances, what they want to see out of spring training with the Phillies, plus the NBA trades and the super team trend. Plus, don't forget, what's making Murdoch mad, the illegal procedure of the week, tweet of the week, and the Valentine's Day contest winner. Stay tuned.
We be the infamous, you heard of us, official
review.
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 Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome. It is the Upon Official Review Podcast. This is episode 9, and we are in the house ready to give you all your Philly sports news and entertainment. As always, next to me, well, with me on this podcast is my boy Al, a.k.a. Murdoch, and it's me, Magnum, a.k.a. Airy. I'm a little bit under the weather this week, as you might be able to tell, but still,
but he's a trooper. He's a hockey player. He's toughing it out.
Exactly.
Not going to get him down a little cold. So, yeah, we're here for your Philly sports fix, as we all need that. Absolutely. I assume you need that if you're listening to us. I don't see why else you would be, but hey, maybe you are. So, yeah, hope everybody's
had a
great
like fun,
week.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Or awesomeness.
That's true.
That's definitely a possibility. But yeah, hope everybody's had a great week. Thanks for tuning in to us, and yeah. So episode number 9, man. Time flies, huh? It
really does. Getting up there quickly. Yep. And thankfully, you know, it's getting closer to springtime, so these podcasts are going to get more and more exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Once March Madness starts, that's when, you know, sports is just going to be awesome all the way up through the end of the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Because you got March Madness, baseball, or excuse me, hockey, basketball playoffs, even though Sixers won't, or they might, but they'll get crushed in the first round. But
yeah,
I mean, basketball is a sport that I'll watch other teams in the playoffs, absolutely.
Agree.
Hockey, not so much. I always maybe tune in a little bit on the Stanley Cup Finals. Like when Pittsburgh and Detroit played, that was a matchup I watched. And anytime there's a Game 7, I'd probably turn it on.
Yep.
Definitely Game 7 of the Finals. I've always wanted to see a Game 7 of the Finals in overtime, which I've never seen. I mean, I got into hockey when they made the Eric Lindros trade in, what, about 95 was that? Or 94,
I think
93,
it was.
Something like that? Yeah.
I think it was 94, yeah, 93.
Yeah. Yeah, so once they started, I guess they had missed the playoffs 5 years in a row before that. But my dad, he wasn't a hockey fan, so I never got raised on it. And then I started hearing on 610 all this talk about Lindros, and it got me interested. I started watching, and eventually became a big fan. But so every time there's a Game 7, which there's been 6 or 7 of in the past, you know, 15 years or so, I'm always hoping it goes into overtime in the finals. That would be just unbelievable.
That would be unreal.
Never happened yet. Can you imagine if your team won that way? I mean, that would just be – because, I mean, it would just be the most unbelievable – the highest of highs, but then losing that way would, oh,
exactly, goodness. Yeah.
You made it all the way. You know what I mean? Like, obviously the teams were evenly matched, you know, one break here or there, but oof, that would be a brutal way to lose.
Yeah, seriously. I agree. That would be fun.
Yeah, so I'm hoping one of these years. I mean, yeah. I hope if it's the Flyers are in
it's
it.
It's the Flyers, I want them to sweep.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they've already won a cup or two, you know what I mean? Then, yeah, I'll root for Game 7 overtime, but I don't know if my heart could take that. I think I might like have a heart attack in the middle of that overtime. Oof.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're due for another cup run this year.
Yeah, oh, I think so for sure. I think I don't really see a big – I mean, you just never know in hockey. You could hit a cold spell. Your goalie could start to suck. The other team's goalie could get crazy.
Yeah,
but
true.
I don't see anyone in the East really giving us much of a challenge. Detroit, definitely, and Vancouver.
Hockey's that
West,
one sport where you run into a hot goalie, man, and you're just you're in trouble.
You absolutely.
Know, your whole team could be playing well, and if your goalie's just standing on his head, then you're done for. Your team could be getting breakaways and one-timers, and that goalie is just blocking everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing you
can
do.
It's like, to me, it's the most important position in sports. I mean, a lot of people, especially people that aren't as big into hockey, will just be like, oh, it's definitely the quarterback, but you know, the quarterback cannot single-handedly win by himself.
No.
And the goalie can. You can
same
have a terrible team
guard,
with a great goalie. I mean, look at Buffalo in the late 90s. They had a terrible team, but Hasek.
It was all Hasek.
Score on the guy, and they almost won the cup based on that.
Yep.
You cannot have a bad team with a good quarterback and get anywhere close to the Super Bowl. This is not going to happen.
It's true.
So, you know, That's even, my, like, if you put, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, whatever like that on Cincinnati last year, or who was bad, Buffalo, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they would have probably made the playoffs, but they'd have been out first, second round.
Yeah.
At best. And they might not have even made the playoffs. So yeah,
that's probably true.
I mean, to me, goalie is the number one as far as importance. And it doesn't, you don't have to have a big name. You just, you know, those goalies can get hot, random ones at different times. And if you get one that gets hot, watch out.
Yep. So hopefully this is our year where we, all the pieces come together and it works out for us. Because you're right, it is. In hockey, too, it can be, you know, it's that hot goalie or, you know,
special teams,
exactly. And then in one game or, you know, here and there, just a bad goal gets you, you know what I mean?
And that with a bad goal, it's like not only do they get a cheap goal, but it deflates the whole team.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. Yeah, your whole team.
They're just kind of their shoulders slump. They're like, oh, my gosh. And then you end up giving up another goal, which may or may not be bad, but it's just it takes a lot of life out of you. And when the goalie makes a crazy save that he had no business making, it does the opposite. It pumps everybody up. So
exactly. Let's talk some fights, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Spring training officially – well, not it didn't officially start today, but they first started playing games today. So
yeah, that's right.
Grapefruit League, which is, you know, a goofy name for –
yeah, I know. What's the, there's like some other league, too. I can't even know. I don't even know what the other one
the other
is.
One,
but
I don't know either.
I don't know. I think it's the Arizona League. You know what I mean?
They should start it out by throwing a grapefruit to the catcher.
Yeah, really.
And if you get squirted in the eye with the juice, that means you're going to have a bad season. Kind of like Groundhog's Day.
Oh, it's like Groundhog Day.
Exactly.
Way less weird and okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's but funny. Yeah, they play what Florida State, I think, today.
Florida State. They always start out with Florida State. They seem to play like three or four games against Florida State. I don't know why the Phillies always play Florida State. I guess different teams have different colleges they play against. I'm not even really sure how that works. But yeah, today everybody's in except for Jimmy Rollins, who's at the White House. I'm not even really sure. I kind of saw that a few times. I didn't really pay attention to why he was there, but he's at the White House for some reason. And Utley. Now, okay, I think something's going on with Utley because here's the deal. Everybody said he's working out like a mad fool all off season, like he always does, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's gained 10 pounds of muscle, which he eventually loses during the season or whatever they always say. But then he gets to spring training, what, last Saturday it started? They had to report like Friday night or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And today's Thursday, just, you know, the day we're actually recording the podcast is Thursday, February 24th. So they got in, and then he apparently kept working out, which we were told he was doing all off season. And then now Charlie says, oh, well, at least sore because he's been working out too much or something like that just this week. So we're going to, like, let him rest for a few days.
Yeah, I think I did see that.
Like, doesn't that seem kind of shady to you? Like, because one report is he's been working out like crazy all offseason. Now, why all of a sudden is his workout at spring training making him too sore to play? What is his muscle sore from like pumping iron? Is that what – like that doesn't make sense because he should have been – what we were told is he's been doing that the last 4 months anyway. You know what I mean? It's like it's one thing if I haven't lifted weights in like 2 years and I go lift weights. Yeah, I'm going to be really sore. But
yep.
If I do it every day or whatever like that or whatever every other day or however they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I should be fine. So I don't know why he would have all of a sudden decided to up his workout 10 times harder just for this week. So I feel like there's something that they're not telling us. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but maybe he's got some kind of minor injury that the team just doesn't really want to tell us about. Maybe
could be.
Hips bothering him or something. Let's hope not. But
yeah, let's hope not.
I just thought it was weird the way it came out.
Yeah, I think we both agree that injury is really the only thing that can stop this team from making another playoff run. You know,
run. Injuries can't even stop us from actually making the playoffs. I mean, there would have to be like some kind of ridiculous injury epidemic. You have to lose like three of our aces and like a couple positions. Because, I mean, even if we lost two aces, right, for the season, you still have, you know, two aces, which is better than like Adam Wainwright just went down for the Cardinals because you could say Carpenter and Wainwright. But, I mean, who else has two like that? Nobody. I don't even think San Francisco.
San Francisco,
really,
yeah.
Other team. Mm-hmm. There might be another team I'm just not thinking about. Tigers have Verlander, but I don't think they have anybody else. Yeah, okay. Well, they have Hudson, but do they have another really actual ace? And they have some nice young little pitchers there, and they may someday. I don't know if they might have like a 1-1A kind of a thing.
Right.
But still, I don't think they can match us, even if we lost. Even if you took off Lee and Halladay just with Oswalt and Hamels.
It's probably true.
So, I mean, it would take a lot. It would take, like, a lot, I think, for us to miss the playoffs. So, you lost two guys. You may not win the division, but you'd at least get the wild card, I think.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah. I'm looking for – I'm hoping San Francisco comes in and is a little fat and happy like we were kind of the last year or two maybe.
Yeah.
And starts out a little slow. And the other thing is all those young pitchers, none of them ever had that extra month. And remember what that did to Hamels after the World Series.
That killed Hamels the next year.
That could really hurt them. And if they don't make the playoffs, there's no way anyone else in the National League is beating us. No way. Not happening. So I'm definitely going to be rooting against them all year. Not because I don't think we can beat them, but you know what? They have really good pitchers.
Yeah,
so, you know what I mean? It's like we have really good pitchers too, but if they're shutting us out, which they could, even though our pitchers are better, it's not inconceivable we'd give up one, they'd give up none. I mean, nobody would be shocked if Lincecum beat Halladay 1-0. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or Matt Cain beat Lee 1-0 because Cain didn't allow a run all postseason.
All postseason.
I mean, like those
Wait, was it all postseason or just all that
all
last?
All postseason. Like
really?
All three rounds. He
That's
did not allow
a
single
run. Zero ERA. That's
Yeah. Yep.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. So I'll be rooting against them for sure. Like I said, not that I'm scared, but screw them. And
if we
I don't really
play them again, I don't think Cody Ross is going to survive.
Ugh.
I would say he needs
He's not going to have the same, you know what I mean? He's not going to hit bat 700 or wherever the heck he was. You know what I mean? There's no way a player like that's going to catch lightning in the bottle twice. Now, who knows? Maybe he's just one of those guys that's awesome in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen guys like that before. So
yeah, I guess that's true.
I just stepped it up, like like Curt Schilling, really good pitcher, but in the playoffs
lights out, right?
Evil pitcher. You know what I mean? So some guys just step it up. Because he was never like, oh, he's going to be the Cy Young.
Yeah,
I don't think
right.
he ever
if
won
If you
the Cy Young.
Extracted his postseason, he's
He'd
a Hall of Famer,
pitcher.
No doubt. But if you just look at his regular statistics, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Exactly. If he had never made the playoffs, no one would even – now, he wouldn't even – there wouldn't even be a conversation.
Exactly.
He wouldn't even be on the ballot.
Yep.
But considering he was one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time, he may well make the Hall of Fame. Now, he still might come a little bit short, but he'll be right there at least.
Yep. He'll definitely get some votes.
What
him
so
and
yeah,
Johnson did with the Yankees was just legendary.
Yeah, especially with the Yankees winning all those walk-offs. That was a great World Series.
That was a great World That was the one World Series that I got into that I really, without either any of my teams being, being involved.
Yeah. I mean, I will always watch the World Series. Ever since I was like 5 years old, I've always watched the World Series.
That's the only one I watched every game, though.
But yeah, I watched. Usually every game. And sometimes it was like the Marlins against whoever. You know what I mean? I didn't watch necessarily like every game of that. But or the Rockies Red Sox. Was that, 2007? Like, that was an obvious blowout. Like, I wasn't too interested in that. But I at least will check out, game one and see how the series goes and have it on in the background at least. But, yeah, that was the best World Series I ever saw. I mean, just being... talking about that from obviously 2008 was the best, but from a sports fan perspective and non-biased, I mean, that was
right,
the best
exactly.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Most exciting, the Yankee dynasty, all the walk-offs, and they still got it done. I mean, that was pretty awesome on a walk-off in the ninth, against the greatest closer of all time. I mean,
yep.
That was fairy tale.
Definitely.
So
back to the Fightins. What do you, and everything in spring training, all these games and everything like that. What do you want to see the most? What kind of growth or what kind of players you want to see step up or any changes? What do you think?
I think people get a little too concerned. Some pitchers always struggle in spring training and people get, that I'm not worried about the pitchers, especially the starters, because what they do in spring training is they're not trying. They don't really give a crap if they get the hitter out. They're just trying to work on pitches.
Right.
And then experiment and, throw a screwball or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Or try to make a new pitch up, like Hamels with his cutter. So, and they don't want to show hitters anything either, especially ones from their own league. You know what I mean? Like maybe right. a little more against the Yankees because, we might play, three games against them, if that. And they're not as worried about it. But, so I don't think, Hamels always has a terrible spring, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Although right now all reports are is that he's just looking lights out. And, if he takes a step they're saying he looks better than he did at the end of last year. If he takes a step forward,
yeah,
from that, he could win the Cy Young this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, he could absolutely be the best pitcher, in baseball this year.
Yeah.
If he does better than he did the second half, he had a 2.07 ERA. You know what I mean? Doing better than that under two, I mean, you know, that's just very rare. I'm trying to think the last pitcher that had an ERA. I know Maddox did in the mid-90s, had like a 1.56. But it's just, you know, it almost never happens. So, I mean, you could see our fourth starter win a Cy Young. That'd be pretty cool, you know. So,
yeah. That'd be cool.
I wonder what the odds are if, like, for Vegas, like, if they had a bet, like, what are the odds that the Cy Young will be won by a Phillies pitcher and, like, the rest in the field, you know, because you used to be Tiger.
That's true, against the field, you're right.
Wonder obviously, I think that, well, would you take, I mean, what would be, like.
I would take the Phillies, man, against the field.
If it was an even money bet, who would you pick?
I think I would still take the Phillies.
Do you think they got four guys? I mean, but let's look. Lincecum, who else in the National League could possibly? Carpenter. The guy from Colorado, that kid that started last
Greinke
year.
Greinke's in Milwaukee now.
Oh, Greinke, yeah, him. And Jimenez, Ubaldo Jimenez from
That's right.
Colorado. So that's
he tailed
four.
Off last year.
Oh, well, no, Santana's going to start the season on the DL, I'd say him. Mm-hmm. Hudson, maybe?
Yeah.
So there's probably like more aces, but not the same quality. So yeah, I mean, you probably, if Vegas was doing it, they'd probably give the, you know, if you make more money off the Phillies than you would off the field, you'd think they'd be the favorites. But I don't know, it'd be pretty close.
That's a good prop bet.
You have the two best pitchers in baseball, so.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a bet out there like that. I don't know if there is, but there should be if there's not.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool to think about. All right, so the things, I mean, it's right field, I guess, you got to say. I mean, see what Dominic Brown does. See what who's the right-hander that everybody's talking about platooning possibly. Why is his name escaping me? Ben Francisco.
Yep.
And you know, guys like John Mayberry. I would actually kind of like, because they always said, oh, he can't hit a breaking ball, and that's the reason why he's 27. And he's kind of gone from a prospect to, well, he's running out of time to ever be looked at as a prospect anymore. He better, you know, step up and do something. So if he could actually, if he worked, I'm sure he worked, but if he could start hitting the breaking ball and he makes a team, that would be really actually good.
Yep.
Because if you think about it, if we had all three of those guys, right, and then the two top guys are platooning and Mayberry's on the bench, that gives us a nice right-handed guy off the bench with pop.
Right.
And we already have Glode for our lefty. So we'd actually have a pretty good pinch hitter from both sides there. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I'd like to see him step up and at least make the team as a bench player. So I think if he could do that and show that he can be a major league hitter, he's the best option if he can hit a breaking ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I think for me, it would probably be the bullpen just to see if they have their stuff. Again, you know, the ERA and everything is really
right. Nice.
Absolutely. But you want to make sure their stuff is sharp, you know, with Romero. And then we talked about this before in another podcast, how relievers and bullpen guys, they can be up and down from one year to the next.
Right. I mean, who knows? Maybe Baez.
Good. Exactly. So I was just about to say that. Yep. If Baez is solid, then we feel way more comfortable taking our pitchers out with a one-run lead in the seventh or a two-run lead in the seventh or the eighth instead of making them go the distance, because we talked about this before too. Like, we don't want to see Charlie overwork our starters. We want them
especially
fresh.
Especially early in the season. Yeah,
exactly.
We want them, exactly. I mean, I don't want to see anyone going 220, 230 innings. You know, 200 max for those guys.
Exactly.
There's just no reason for it. Mm-hmm. If you have one or two of them, there absolutely is a reason, but there's not with four.
Exactly.
Don't, you know, if you're up, like Halladay pitched into the eighth and ninth inning with like a 7-1 run, 7-1 lead a ton last year.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see that, ever. If he's got a 6-run lead, get him out after seven, hit the showers, go. You know what I mean? Unless it's a shutout or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Let him go try and get a shutout. But if he's already given up a run or two and it's 8-2, you know, there's no reason at all for him to finish that game.
Yep.
Especially because all the pitchers are going to be pitching deep, so the bullpen is not going to be overworked. You know, And that could change with injuries, but yeah, that's a huge thing that Charlie needs to really discipline himself on, and just not doing it.
Exactly.
I think.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he can be kind of stubborn and hard-headed. You can tell. You know, that happens with you know, age, you know, in general.
Sure.
Dude, regardless of sports, I mean, you get old, you're set in your ways, exactly. Yep. But plus, probably back in his day, you know, they didn't
have... In my day, all the pitchers threw 37 incomplete games 3 days a week. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, guys. Enough. Enough of the good old days.
Yep, it's true. That's the way it used to work, though, man. Yeah, pitchers used to...
Yeah, but they didn't throw the same way. They didn't have the same motion. They didn't have the same stress on their arms. You know what I mean? They weren't throwing 100 miles an hour back then. I don't know.
That's true.
So,
yeah, for me, it's the bullpen. I really hope that they're sharp. They're talking about. I did hear rumors that they're going to bring Durbin back finally.
Yeah, I did hear that. Apparently, the only teams that gave him any kind of a offer were bad teams. Now you think with a guy like Durbin making like usually like $1 or $2 million a year, he'd just take the most money. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, he's got a ring. I would if I were him.
Yeah.
Worth, you could say, well, $80 million, $126 million. What's, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's $45 million, but $80 million still. You know what I mean? You could just kind of eke by on that. And not to say that $1 or $2 million, you know what I mean? But like $1 million is not going to last you your whole life. Not anymore. Maybe like 60 years ago. You know what I mean? But that's just not like you're set for life. It's screw you money. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, but apparently he did not want to go to a bad team, and he's trying to find an offer from a good team. So you got to give him credit for that, especially a guy making, you know, not that much, you know, comparatively to other athletes that actually will take less money. You usually would never see a guy making closer to the bottom end of the pay scale take less money. You know what I mean? It's like Cliff Lee, yeah, you know, he gave up less guaranteed money, but, and that's overblown too, because he's got more per year, and it's not like, you know what I mean, what are the odds he can probably get a contract after that too, so he'll make something that extra year that the Phillies gave him 5 with a vesting option as opposed to 6 with a vesting option. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's going to make nothing on that 6 year unless he completely blows his elbow out or something like that.
Yep.
And also, when you get paid that far to the future, you know what I mean, it's not worth the same in present value.
It's true. You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, they kind of just ignore that whole factor.
Yeah, yearly inflation of everything.
Right, and exactly. So, you know, and plus you can invest the money you make now. So any money he's making now is worth way more than the money he's making in 7 years from now.
Yep.
So.
It's true. Like, you know, back in, you know, we'll talk about this after the break, but back in, I think I heard this on the radio, back in 1990, I guess it was, or 19, it was late 80s maybe, Robin Yount was the highest paid player in baseball, and he was making like $2 million a year. And that was like, you know, incredible money then. And then fast forward 10 years and A-Rod's making $250 million. Like,
well, now it's 270. Oh, yeah, just 10 years.
But 10 years first, from then.
Yep.
Which is like, how did it inflate? Like, you know, he's making $25 million a year as opposed to $2 million a year. Like, so, yeah, that money that, you know, he made then is definitely, you know, who knows, maybe in 10 years from now, somebody's making, you know, $50 million a year, or somebody's making $200 million a year. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, in 50 years, you'd think it'd be, yeah, someone would probably make $100 million a year. I mean, they're talking Pujols going to be 30 a year. It's going to keep going up unless they put a salary cap in.
Yep. We'll talk about, you know, numbers and stuff like that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, dude, and we'll come back. We'll talk some all NBA, and we'll get to what's making Murdoch mad.
Sounds good.
Upon official review.
Last word of Philly sports.
It's us.
Go for it, red. Go for it, black. Go for
get
it.
Get off my back.
Get it, four. Got three in a row.
Go for one more. Go for it.
Too late, Joe.
Connect four.
Go for the fun of connect four. Four in a row wins.
Go for the bottom.
And go for the top. Watch for the block.
Forget it. You're stuck.
Go for the glory. Go for the star.
Go for it.
I win.
It was a blank.
It was fun, but it's only going to get funner. So,
hey, welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast, the last word of Philly sports, and it is time for my favorite segment, What's making Murdoch mad?
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Okay, so Murdoch, what is making you mad this week, sir?
This week, I am extremely angry about the designated hitter. Bud Selig, or, you know, it is his fault because he could have changed the rule. I should have looked up who was the commissioner in 1973, but the designated hitter rule was introduced in 1973, and the wussy American League adopted it, and the National League decided, yeah, we actually like to play baseball around here, so we're going to actually play baseball and not have a fat slob sitting around eating pizza for 2 hours at a time and then batting every four innings, you know, once, and that's all he does. The reason I hate this rule is mostly, you know, as much as I don't like the actual thought of the designated hitter, the thing that really makes me mad about this is because they're different freaking rules in the same sport. It's completely different. It's like it's not just a little tweak from one league to the other. It's totally different game. What other sport has ever been like that? None. And I'll tell you why I really get pissed is because the National League gets completely screwed by this rule. Let's lay this out. In the World Series, what happens? Whoever has home field gets their rules for 4 games out of 7.
Yep.
And regardless of who has home field, you got to at least play 3 rules in with the designated hitter if you're the Phillies. Okay, so let's say it's the Phillies against Boston, which most people are predicting in the World Series this fall.
Uh-huh.
So who's the designated hitter for the Phillies? Ross Gloed is the designated hitter for the Phillies. Or else Ryan Howard is and Ross Gloed's playing first base. Bottom line is we get Ross Gloed in our lineup as opposed to David Ortiz who can – you know what I mean? It's just somebody – you know, one of them's making $800,000. The other guy's making $14 million. Okay? Now, who has an advantage there? Let me ask you. You know what I mean? Or you know, like after this year, the freaking Yankees will sign Albert Pujols to be a $30 million DH. You know, it's just ridiculous. We have to, you know, no National League team, no matter how big their payroll is, can afford to have a great bench player that pinch hits every 2-3 days. You know,
right.
You just can't do that. It's stupid. You'd put the same money if you had it into better starters. You know,
yep.
So it's a huge advantage for the American League in their stadium. But the advantage that the National League has is what? Our crappy pitcher hitting against your crappy pitcher hitting. There's no advantage. It's a minuscule freaking advantage. You know, CeCe Sabathia is the best hitting pitcher on baseball. You know what I mean? So now, in our stadium, if we're going up against Sabathia, they got the advantage there too. Because it's just hitters are our pitchers are bad hitters.
So it's true.
Why on earth am I the only one talking about this? It's completely insane. It's like, yeah, the American League won interleague play. Yeah, no joke they won interleague play because they have designated hitters. So when they're at home, they have a gigantic advantage. And when they're on the road, it's even.
Yep.
You know? It's just, it's ridiculous. It's
got a pitcher batting maybe 220 versus 200.
Yeah, or, you know, or not. Or they could be worse or better. They're both bad. That's the bottom line.
They're both
bad, lucky to get a hit.
Yeah, you know, 200 is probably too high.
Yes, 200 is mistake hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if the other pitcher doesn't make a mistake, the pitcher's not getting a hit, no matter who they are. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So sometimes they probably relax or throw one right down the middle or they just get lucky. But it's not because they're good hitters. You know, it's so rare that actually there is a good hitter. Micah Owings is good. I don't even know if he's still in baseball or he might be a reliever now. He used to play for Arizona.
Not too bad.
Ian Hamill's okay. Lee, from what we saw, was okay. You know, but bottom line is, it's just not really an advantage at all. They need to have the same rules both sides. End of story. I don't even care.
It's,
you know what? I'd rather see them get rid of the designated hitter because these fat guys should not be getting paid this much to be athletes. Get in shape, dude. It's not that hard when your whole job is to make millions of dollars playing sports. Hire a chef that'll cook healthy. Hire a personal trainer. It's like one thing, somebody working 60 hours a week and then running around with 3 kids doesn't have time to get in shape. I can understand that a lot more than an athlete who has nothing to do all freaking day. except for get in shape. That's your whole job, pal.
Yeah, seriously. It's your job.
So I hate the fact that the rules are different. I'd much rather see American League, dump the DH. But if you can't do that, let's get it in with the National League. It might take us a couple years to kind of, you know what I mean? But I don't care. It's completely insane that the rules are different, and it screws the National League over, and I'm sick and tired of it. This needs to stop. It's an outrage.
It is an outrage. I mean, imagine if it was like, you know, the Western Conference in basketball had a four-point shot, or...
Yeah, exactly.
And you had a player on your team that was really good at taking four-point shots.
Or say they got to play six-on-six over there, so they had extra good players because they were starters. I mean, you know, it's just stupid. Mm-hmm. And the game, it's not even just that. It's the game is totally different. You know, double switches, all the strategy. You know, there's less strategy, everything else. It's a totally different game. It's just, the whole thing's dumb.
It doesn't make any sense. You're right. By the way, the commissioner in 73 was Bowie Kuhn. Kuhn. Okay. Yeah, so
Kuhn.
That guy.
Screw that guy.
Exactly.
And screw the American League for voting that in also. That's ridiculous.
It's true.
But
it's un-American,
needs to be
actually.
Uniform. Now it needs to be now uniform. Enough of this crap. Before, if they have to get a lockout to do this and lose a season, fine, just do it. You know, and if the players' union bitches because there's going to be less players now because they're losing the DH, you know what? Too bad. The players are making plenty of money. I don't care. It needs to be the same both ways.
Yep.
That's it. That's my rant.
I agree with you, sir. What's making Murdoch mad?
You know, and what else makes me mad is that no one else seems to ever realize that it's a huge advantage for the American League. I've never heard anyone say that. I've never read it online. You know what I mean? They go, oh, the American League's better. They won Interleague. It's like, hello? you know what I mean? Like, what was their record in National League parks? That will tell you if they're better or not.
Yep.
The record in American League parks is a big load of garbage.
It's true. It's true. Good point, sir. I like
Thank
it.
You.
So let's get into some NBA talk.
Yeah, exciting week for the NBA.
Yeah, it was a crazy week for the NBA, exactly. Yeah, we had the All-Star game, and then right after that, Carmelo got moved in a mega trade. And then a day later, Deron Williams got traded.
Yes.
Now, the issue here is Carmelo has been trying to get to New York for some time now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wanted to play with Amari Stoudemire, and he wanted to play in, you know, on the big stage.
Absolutely. He's going to make a lot of money in endorsements because
of
that, too.
Yep. And then New York is also talking about trying to get in, you know, a high caliber point guard next season, possibly
right.
Chris Paul.
What I heard it was Paul or Williams. Now Williams gone. So although Williams, for whatever the CBA, they're not allowed to sign him until this offseason.
Until July.
So he's still going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So he may not sign with the Nets. You know what I mean? If he doesn't think they have a chance to win, so that he's still an option.
Which would mean that would be like the most expensive rental of all time.
Right.
If he left. But they're saying what they're trying to bring him in so people will actually come to their franchise when they move to Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, that'll be because everybody wants to play with a good point guard.
You know, it was funny to me when I heard about these two trades because the Nets were trying to get Carmelo all this time and then they couldn't get him, so they decided to get Williams.
I'd rather have Deron Williams.
By far. If you look at their stats, they're almost the same. And point guard is way more valuable. Small forward? Are you kidding me? Those are things.
Yep.
Those guys are a dime a dozen out there. So, to me, like both of them should be going for Deron Williams, not Carmelo. I don't know who's the Knicks point guard. Maybe they already have a good.
It was Raymond Felton. It was decent.
Yeah. So they have. You know, they could have. You know, to me, I would have gone for Deron Williams in a heartbeat. Let him set up Amare.
I don't think anybody thought that he was on the block.
Well, I heard Dallas was trying to get because the Nets traded the point guard they got from Dallas.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Devin Harris.
Devin Harris, yes.
Yeah, they traded him for Denver, and I heard that Dallas was actually trying to get Devin Harris because they knew Denver wanted him because Dallas wanted to get Deron Williams. But they would never, I guess, they never quite could come to terms. But I mean, it was just not as big of news. And it might have been kind of a late-breaking thing where, like, maybe just the last week or week and a half, but Carmelo was just dominating the headlines for the past 6 months. So it was like, that's all anyone cared about. But to me, you know, center and point guard, that's what you build your team around. So I don't know why a small forward with pretty similar stats to Williams was everyone thought he was so much better and he was the first choice and everything like that. So,
yeah, I agree.
I guess the Knicks thought, well, we can still sign a point guard after next year. This is our only chance to get Carmelo. So from that side of it, I can understand it. But the Nets should be just as happy, really, that they got Williams, I think.
Yeah, both of those teams gave up a lot.
Yeah.
The Nets gave up two first-rounders.
And nobody knows
what one this year is going to be in the lottery. Well, the lottery is
right, it's not lottery protected. Yep. Everyone thinks the new CBA, because like Carmelo wanted to sign. I guess he can only sign a 3-year, $65 million extension as like the max or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But which is weird, because if you're a free agent, you can get like what 6 years with your own team and 5 years with everybody else. So I don't understand why you can only sign in your last year of your contract 3 more years. That doesn't even, you know what I mean. But whatever the rules, the NBA has really weird rules as far as salary and all that kind of stuff. But he, everybody thinks after the new CBA is signed, because it's up after this year for the NBA, you wouldn't be able to make that $65 million. So that's why the Knicks couldn't say, well, we'll just wait till the offseason. He'll come here then. He may not have, because he would have had to turn down money in order to do it. So that's why exactly. They had to trade for him now.
Yep.
So he could sign his 3-year, $65 million extension, yeah. Get his max money. Everything like that. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, the NBA does have it. It's called the Larry Bird rule, whereas your own team can give you the most money. Now, what they've been talking about adopting is something like a franchise tag.
I heard that. I don't see how they're going to be able to throw that in.
I don't know either.
Union, really, you know what I mean? They'd have to lock the players out for a while to get them to do that.
Probably.
That's my thinking.
Probably, but the question I was going to ask for, the issue this raises is there going to be a stop to this NBA super teams trend where players just kind of want to go where they want to? I mean, Now free agency, this has been happening for a long time where players have said, trade me, I want out.
Right.
But never before has it been a case where I want to be traded where there is a star already in place.
And a big market, like a desirable location. Okay, so here's my thing. The reason football has a franchise player is because that's what the players had to give up to get free agency in the first place. You know what I mean? Once you're already, the players are already able to have free agency in the NBA. There's no incentive to them. You know what I mean? Like they said, whatever, we'll do that. Fine. We just want to have free agency so the team can't screw us for our entire careers. So that's why once you already have that free agency or something, unless there's something else the players really, really want, I can't see them ever doing that. Here's how you could somewhat solve it. The problem now is more money is just an extra year for your own team to sign somebody. You know, LeBron James took 5 years, what, $100 million instead of 6 years, $120 million. Is that what it ended up being?
I think so, yep.
Right, so it's the same annual value. And guess what? After 5 years, LeBron James is going to make $20 million in that 6 year. You can bet your – I mean, it's just – it's going to happen. So he's still going to get the money.
Uh-huh.
The only way to make it so they really think about staying with their team is say, okay, if you go as a free agent, it's 5 years, $100 million. But if you stay with your own team, you can get 5 years, $140 million. That might actually – you know, $40 million, you know what I mean? Like that is a chump change. Players might actually stay then. That's some still might not, but that's a way that you could, you know what I mean? Like, barring the franchise, which I don't see how they're going to be able to do that, that would be a way they could ensure that at least teams like Cleveland had a fighting chance. So, okay. I mean, what do you think? You think that's a good idea?
That's a good point.
You know, an extra 20, you know, 5 years, 120 instead of 5 years, 100, you know, something. Give them something that actually matters, because those superstars are still going to make money that last year.
Exactly.
6 year? You don't think LeBron James is going to get another max contract? Yeah, yeah. Of course he is. You know what I mean? So he's still making that money either way. So
yeah, I personally think that David Stern needs to, you know, actually, I feel like he's done just very little in as far as keeping the league maintained as a quality product.
Right.
I just think that he's kind of taken his foot off the gas and kind of rested his laurels based on saying, oh, well, all I'm going to do is just market my league around superstars. And that's been
major markets.
Exactly. And that's been a terrible idea. I just feel like the quality of the product is just inferior. There's too many teams. There's just way too much emphasis on non-fundamentals, like players that can't hit open jump shots. And there's just, I mean, and I love the NBA. I love basketball. Basketball is my first love as far as sports goes. So I just hate to see, you know, players and teams and the league in general just being mediocre. Like, it's funny because baseball is that league where you say, oh, well, if there's a small market, they can't compete. Yet baseball's had more different
right.
World Series matchups in the last 10 years, and the NBA has had, like, the same teams almost every year.
Every year. The Lakers, the Spurs.
The Lakers,
you know what I mean?
The Spurs.
Boston,
yep, the Celtics.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
But here's the thing. I agree with everything you said, but when you say that Stearns made a terrible decision to allow this to happen, that only depends on your point of view. Because I guarantee you, Stearns' point of view is, let's try to get everyone... all the best players on all the hottest, you know, biggest market teams, because guess what? They make more TV money that way.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He's looking at his dollars. And if you're looking at just dollars, he's doing a great job. This is the what, you know what I mean? Because then you can just run those eight teams and the ratings will be high and everything else. But I don't know how you stop this, because here's the problem. With baseball, the reason why with baseball, with no salary cap, you can still compete with a small team. There's 25 guys in baseball.
Right.
So you're not going to have an all-star, 25 all-stars on any one team. You're going to have some young players come up. But basketball, it's five guys. You know what I mean?
Yep. So and those one, two, even three guys are making a difference.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, there's only nine guys on baseball at once. But everyone's doing their own thing. It's not like anyone can dominate a game defensively or offensively one out of nine. It's just not. It's just not possible. But
well,
for the NBA, you're always on the court.
If he gets hot in the playoffs in baseball, that can happen. Like Ortiz,
yeah, but you still have to get guys on in front of you. Ortiz can hit four home runs in a game and lose 5-4. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to rely on your teammates. But if Michael Jordan in basketball in his heyday, it didn't matter almost. Yep. You know what I mean? He was going to put 60 on you if you wanted, and you were going to lose.
Yep.
Because it's just you can dominate that. That game is a much more a game that you can dominate in just one player way more than any other sport.
That's true.
There's only five guys on the ice in hockey, but you can't play the whole game. You can't play 40 out of 48 minutes, 45 minutes. Impossible. You can only play 20. And baseball, again, it's an individual kind of a sport. It's a team sport with a bunch of individual players playing individually.
Yep.
But basketball, you can just dominate. So, what you have now is there's 10 teams with a chance and 20 teams with absolutely no chance.
Yep.
Football, everybody's got a shot. Hockey, always. All you got to do is make the playoffs. You know, more than half the league makes the playoffs.
Yep.
Baseball, you know, there's going to be, okay, there's what?
Is it really more than half the league? Is that exaggeration?
No, it's more. There's 30 teams in hockey, I believe, and 16 make the playoffs.
Really? Jeez.
Check that. Pretty sure it's 30 baseball, 30 hockey. It might be 32 hockey teams. I thought there was 30 of everything but football, and then 32 football teams. but anyway, regardless of that, it's just you can dominate that game in basketball, and you're going to have 20 teams that just have no shot, absolutely no shot. Yeah, there's 30 teams in hockey. So 16 out of 30 teams make the playoffs. So, and then again, in baseball, you're going to have, the Yankees, the Phillies, teams like that are always going to be there. The Red Sox, usually. There's probably like three or four teams will definitely make the playoffs, but you don't know for sure that one of those will win the World Series. That's one. And two, there's always a couple teams that come out of nowhere and make the playoffs. Tampa a couple years ago. I mean, it's just, it happens every year. So it's less set than in football, in baseball. Football's less set than baseball, and so is hockey, but basketball is just the worst. And then the other thing is, those teams are going to win the titles every time.
Yep.
Because it's not like, well, in baseball you can run into a hot pitcher or anything like that. The best players win every time in basketball.
It's true, because you got seven games.
Seven games, and it's, again, those five guys on the floor all the time completely decide it. It's not like, well, they just kind of got into a slump, a hitting slump, or the other pitcher was just so good you couldn't hit him. That doesn't happen in basketball. The best players win.
Yep.
So that's the problem. You're going to have eight great teams, and it's going to be great when those eight teams are playing against each other, but, man, it really stinks for the other 22, the players are just going to want to go to, the nice warm weather cities and major markets like New York and Boston, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, I guess it also, what makes teams want to get those five superstars is you need to be, if you shut down one, that other guy is going to kill you.
Absolutely.
You know, and so teams are just saying, oh, let's just load up.
Yeah,
but
that's smart.
It's frustrating to watch.
Iguodala, $14-15 million. You know, LeBron James making $20 million. Iguodala's making $15 million. Who would you rather spend your money on? You know what I mean? Go for yep. one of the best players in the league, pay two or three of them, and get a bunch of stiffs off the street.
Yep.
You know, get 57-year-old Juwan Howard, you know, if you're Miami. You know
what I mean? He's still in the league, isn't he?
He's on Miami, yeah.
Yeah, he's really old. Wow.
Fab Five, dude.
The Fab Five, yep.
Yep.
That's funny. Yep.
Timeout. Oh, man.
You know what? I think that timeout's off subject, but off that timeout,
yeah.
that ruined Chris Webber's entire basketball career.
I did, man.
Because he never wanted the ball in the fourth quarter. He never did.
Nope.
He was, that
was a horrible play.
For life.
I was watching that. I was a fan. I was rooting for Michigan.
Yep.
And because everybody loved them back then.
Yeah, they were fun to watch, man.
Yeah, of course. And
they had swagger and they dunked on everybody.
The whole thing was so dumb. He dribbled the ball up the court. It was like, what are you kidding me? He's a power forward. It was like he was going to have it the whole time, no matter what. And that just messed them all up. He double dribbled literally seven times on his way up. Timeout. They didn't call him. Luckily for him.
Yep.
And then. He was just so flustered at that point because he just didn't know what he was doing. Yeah, it's just that was a horrible idea. Give it to the point guard. Let him pass it to him. I don't know what they were thinking there, but
yep.
What are you going to do?
Good talk on the NBA.
Yeah, it was good to get some NBA talk.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason.
You know what? I did want to say one other thing about the NBA.
What's that?
Now that the Knicks, there's, you know, Orlando to me is the most boring team ever. It's like a copy of the Spurs. I can't stand them. They're not fun to watch at all. But now you've got four teams that are really fun to watch in the East.
Uh-huh.
Potentially in the second round, you could have these four teams, Chicago, Boston, Miami, New York. You can put those any different combinations you want. That's going to be two awesome series. If
that
those
is true. That is
it.
True.
Somebody's going to have to beat Miami or Orlando in the first round to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, I don't know what they're seeding. I think they're actually lower. They might end up going against one of those in the first round.
Well,
they might.
If they stay in that sixth seed, they'll be playing Chicago.
Right, but you think, wouldn't you think that they'd win some more games?
I don't know if they'll catch up with Atlanta.
No,
I don't know how much fun they're going to find. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, well maybe not.
Check the standings.
Yeah, but either way, it's going to be fun. The Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's true for a change.
Yeah,
because usually it's just Boston.
Yeah, and you know what else I heard? I heard talking about how. The Lakers are going to get Dwight Howard whenever his contract's up after next year or something like that. Like, man, this is just going to keep getting worse.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I wouldn't.
New York's the sixth seed. They're four games back from Atlanta. They've played. Oh, they still have 27 games left. They can definitely make that up. So, yeah. Atlanta's 8 back of Boston. New York's 12 back of Boston. So they absolutely could sneak up to the 5 seed and play Orlando. And Orlando's only a game and a half ahead of Atlanta. So they could even possibly. Be the four seed if they just start winning a ton of games here with Carmelo. So
yeah, we'll see what that combination looks like. I mean, both of those guys,
the coach is just a fun coach too. So I think it'll be a fun. Yeah, that's why I said it would be better for them to get a point guard to coexist with Amari. But we'll see. I like the coach. His teams are always fun.
D'Antoni, yeah, he plays that style.
All offense. It's just fun to watch. Yep. So that's why I'm like kind of pretty much. Hoping that they can pass Atlanta, and then those four teams will win, and then we get a great second, third rounds in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Essay. A break? Okay, let's take a break.
Let's take a break, and then we'll get to our essay winner for our Valentine's contest, talking about what teams you love and everything like that. We'll go ahead and we'll do that, and then we will get into the legal procedure of the week, the tweet of the week, do some shout-outs, and get out of here for the day.
Wrap it up.
Exactly.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. We are upon official review.
Last word in Philly sports. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Light bright, light bright. Turn on the magic of colored lights. Light bright, light bright. Make a face to glow at night. Smiling friends, shining bright. Make a sign to say goodnight.
Just pop in the colored pegs and follow the patterns. It's easy to make your favorite pictures and characters, or you can always create your own light pictures.
Light bright, turn on the magic of colored lights.
magic of shining light.
Light Bright from Milton Bradley.
All right, gang. So let's get back into the podcast. And this week we had, or rather a couple weeks ago, we had a Valentine's Day contest. Letting everybody express their love for Philadelphia sports teams. So we had everybody send in essays and things like that. We got an essay from at Lady Sakura 8 on Twitter. That's LadySakura 8 on Twitter. She wrote us a fantastic essay. So here it is. Hope you enjoy it. We certainly did. And now our essay winner, Lady Sakura 8.
My name is Kate, and I'm 25 years old. I was born and raised in Michigan and still live there today. I grew up in a sports-loving family, but as far as baseball went, we mainly watched the Detroit Tigers. My little sports world was closed off to the city of Detroit, and I never really opened my eyes to other sports cities, or baseball for that matter. For most of my life, I was a hockey fan. Baseball was cool, but it was always on the back burner. But over the past few years, my love for baseball was rekindled, and it wasn't the Detroit Tigers that did it. It was the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I've been to Philadelphia. It was our vacation over this past July. I got to go to a Phillies game at Citizens Bank Park, and despite the sweltering heat, I loved every minute of it. But when I discovered the Phillies, I hadn't been to Philly. I'd never even been to the state of Pennsylvania before. So why, you ask, would a girl from Michigan absolutely fall in love with a baseball team from a state she had never been to before? Well, it started in mid-2008. My best friend lives in South Jersey and had been a Phillies fan for many years. One day, a Phillies game was picked up on national television, enabling me to see it. My friend told me they were on and asked me to watch the game with him while we chatted online via Instant Messenger. At the time, I was only a casual baseball watcher, and I would only occasionally watch Detroit Tigers games when I happened to catch them on television. As I said, I was mainly a hockey fan. Since I grew up in a sports-loving family, I knew the basis of the game and how it worked, but didn't know much beyond that. Nevertheless, to humor my friend, I flicked on the TV to watch the Phillies. I wasn't expecting much. I was planning on having it as background noise when my friend taught me about the team, but what happened to me was something completely, well, out of left field. It was the crowd noise that kept me going to look up at the screen. They seemed to have so much passion, I could tell that they really loved their baseball team. And as I watched the team itself, I saw how well the team played and how well they worked together. They had personality. They had energy just like the crowd had. Energy so strong I could almost feel it through my television screen. I know it sounds cheesy, but the team quite literally mesmerized me. Since that day I watched that game, I became a Phillies fan. And no, I'm no bandwagoner. I'll be a Phillies fan for life, no matter their win-loss record. This team drew me in hook, line, and sinker. My friend told me how upset he was back in 1993 when the Phillies lost the World Series to Toronto. I told him not to worry, they would get redemption and they would get it soon. I told my friend the Phillies would win the World Series and they would do it in 2008, and I was right. Unfortunately, 2009 didn't have the same outcome. I admit I cried a little. Okay, I cried a lot. I cried for my friend, I cried for the team, I cried for myself. But 2009 was not a failure. A second trip to the World Series? That's far from a failure. That's skill and talent. 2010 was no failure either. Even though we didn't make it back to the big show like everyone thought, I cried last fall too. It was really heartbreaking, especially when knowing that in the back of my mind, my favorite Philly took his last at bat in Phil's uniform. I'll miss you, Jason, but we are sitting at the dawn of a new era. We have one of the greatest pitching rotations in history and a great starting lineup of hitters to match, with many more up-and-coming pitchers and fielders waiting in the wings. The Phillies will win it again, and there will be another parade down Broad Street, and it will be soon. I'll be there in spirit, jumping with joy and screaming my lungs out from my living room of my little apartment almost 1,000 miles away, watching every game I can manage to find via live streams on my laptop. When I went to Philadelphia and went to the game at Citizens Bank Park, I got to experience the amazing energy and love the city has for its team, and I brought a little piece of that home with me. I love the Phillies, and though I don't live there, this little Michigander will forever be a Philadelphian at heart.
There you go, guys. There is the essay. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, great job. Great job. That was definitely a worthy champion.
Absolutely. So, yeah, hope you enjoy your free shirt. I will be sending you the details on, you know, how you can get that hooked up. And, again, thanks for the entry. We'll be having other contests very soon. Also, on the t-shirt, and our Eat, Sleep, Fightin' shirt is now available in stores. Not in stores, plural, but in one store in particular. If you go, if you're on South Street in Philadelphia, check out Cheesesteak Tees. It's on 506 South Street, 5th and South. They're selling our Eat, Sleep, Fightin' shirt. So go ahead and.
And that's an awesome shirt. I got that shirt. That was my favorite one. So I think you guys would like it too. It's pretty much awesome. And if you have it, your friends will be totally jealous.
That's true. It's a fantastic shirt. So yeah, if you don't feel like getting anything shipped, you just pop right in the store and tell your fans of Official Review then while you're in there too. The guys in there are cool. So there's that. And let's get into the illegal procedure of the week.
Let's do it.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so...
Okay, so this week for the illegal procedure, I am throwing a flag at the NBA dunk contest. It's... I'm sure a lot of people could do the same thing, could say the same thing. A lot of people have complaints about this, but I watched it this past weekend because I wanted to see Blake Griffin. The hype can tell that the NBA is kind of wanting to make Blake Griffin their new poster boy. Like they're obviously in bed with, you know, ESPN and all that, you know, all the major sports networks. They, you know, all the major sports leagues rather. They want to, you know,
absolutely
look good with ESPN. So ESPN has these breaks where they will. They'll be doing SportsCenter, and then they'll be like, oh, Blake Griffin update. And you'll watch a Blake Griffin dunk in the middle of your, you know, SportsCenter. So clearly the NBA is trying to sell to you Blake Griffin. What the NBA will soon realize is Blake Griffin has the personality of rye toast.
A jar of mayonnaise.
Exactly. Exactly. A jar of Grey Poupon, possibly.
Yes. Well, that's not, you know, might be a little, that's a little spicy. That might be going too far.
Might be going too far, exactly.
Yeah.
It is quite warm.
Might be overselling the guy a bit there, buddy. Let's take it easy here. Hold on.
Hit the brakes, what they say. Pump the brakes.
Back up.
So, but anyway, they're kind of force feeding us Blake Griffin. And I can see why, because they kind of stopped giving us Kobe ever since his criminal charges. And ever since...
Right.
LeBron left Cleveland. He's kind of the anti-hero now.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, it was the dumbest move ever.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just the typical self-centered athlete that has no clue about the fans and everything else like that.
Yep.
All he had to do was not do that stupid decision and say, hey, I'm going to join my boys in Miami. Who could have possibly blamed a 25-year-old for going to live in freaking South Beach instead of Cleveland all winter and playing with his boys? I mean, nobody would have.
Yep.
I would have done the same thing, but I wouldn't have strung the fans along for so long. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that, but
it's true. Anyway, this year's NBA dunk contest had the potential to be great. And really, I think it's a mistake for any dunk contest to not involve a player under 6'3", because it's just awesome to watch small guys dunk. Anyway, that's beside the point. They clearly set it up for Blake Griffin to win. It got ridiculous. It got out of hand. I don't know if you guys watched it or not, but there were some actually really creative, really good dunks this year. But obviously the judges were purposely, you know, biased towards Blake Griffin. Now, Blake Griffin had a couple of dunks that were 50s and 49s that, you know, the other dunkers had some dunks that were just as difficult and just as amazing and yet got 45s, 46s. 47s, and it was like, wait a minute, guys. And, you know, I understand that NBA is trying to sell us a product and sell us a character, but come on, don't. If you're
it was fixed. I mean, I knew that beforehand he was going to win.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how good the other dunkers were, he was going to win regardless.
Yep. And, you know, the one of the worst parts about it is they let other people get involved in it now. So this year they had dunkers and they had dunk coaches. Are you serious? Really?
Yeah,
you're bringing out Daryl Dawkins, who had a suit that would make, you know, Craig Sager blush. I mean, this thing I'm serious. It was like an alligator hippo skin.
Craig Sager.
Seriously.
That dude has no shame.
He really doesn't. He really doesn't. Actually, the tweet of the week is actually talks about Craig Sager. But it was just insane. They had Kenny Smith coming out saying, oh, we don't need any props for dunks. We're just going to show you the athleticism and grace and power. And then for the last dunk, what do? They bring out a car onto the court, and the car happens to be sponsored by Kia, which is an officially, you know, licensed, not a sponsored by Kia, but made by Kia, officially, you know, official sponsor of the NBA.
Sponsor. Right.
So come on, really? Really, guys?
It's garbage.
It was. And the other part about it is I just miss those days when it was I mean, I'm sure you can't motivate athletes with money anymore
right.
because they make so much. But back in the day, the dunk contest was a spectacle, and it was competitive. Actually,
it was awesome. All the
talented
good players
yeah,
wanted to be on.
Great
you know?
Superstars wanted to participate in it. Wilkins, like the Dominique
Jordan.
Wilkins and Michael Jordan dunk contest was the all-time greatest. Followed yeah. closely by the Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady contest from 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep,
that was fantastic. But
yeah, like this one, if they had LeBron James in there, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, people like that. He's obviously an awesome dunker. And, you know, it's just they don't care. They don't want to do it. It's just whatever.
Yeah, I feel
it's
like
contrived that. At this point. They need to just shut it down.
Yeah, it's true. And most of the competitions, you know, over All-Star Weekend are just they're just dead air. No one really cares anymore.
No one cares about any of it. They should just pick All-Star teams and don't even play the game, except baseball. So it's the only actual real game. Because the pitchers are so good. It's not like they're not playing defense. Just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think many people really care about the other three All-Star games much at all. It's just garbage. And then what really bugs me about the All-Star games is the announcers are acting like they're having the absolute time of their lives trying to sell how awesome it is to everyone. And then hockey, they do it worse than anyone because they're trying to attract new fans.
Right. They're
like, this is so great. This is so much fun. This is the best thing ever. This is better than my wedding day, birth of my first child combined. Like, come on, man. And overlaughing at every stupid joke they make.
Yep.
It's just the announcers kill me
yep.
on those All-Star games.
Yeah,
I hate it.
The worst part of the announcers to me during those games is they always cut away to celebrities in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, they're always like, oh, there's Justin Bieber, and there's Chris Rock, and then they start talking about, you know, their next movie, and you're like, guys, stick to the product. Stop showing us celebrities. Seriously.
Yeah, Fox is the worst at that because they'll show, you know, whatever the next upcoming show, their own stars on there. Just
that's right, they will.
Shameless self-plug on there. It's just like, come on, Fox.
You're right, Fox does do that.
That's yeah. really
funny. All right, so that's it for the legal procedure.
But I'm going to be a good call on the legal procedure. Throw the flag.
Throw those guys get the series flag.
Dunk contest is lame.
Yep. I wish it was better. I wish it was the way it used to be.
So. Yeah, I was at like a bar shooting pool and saw, you know, just corner of my eye a couple of the dunks, but I just didn't care. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Fooey on you, NBA, for messing up the All-Star weekend. All right, so let's get to the tweet of the week. This tweet of the week this week comes from our homeboy over at 97941WISP, Spike Eskin. His Twitter account is at Spike Rocks, spelled just like it sounds. And it was funny, actually. The NBA kept showing Stevie Wonder. TNT kept showing Stevie Wonder. And so Spike tweeted, Stevie Wonder just told Craig Sager his suit looks stupid.
That's a good one.
I thought that was great. Because, even Stevie Wonder could tell that Craig Sager is just, you know, a moron. Yeah, come
dude.
On, Craig Sager. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I don't know why Craig Sager decided that he needed to wear, you know, Muppet-colored suits to, you know, be a journalist. Like, what is that about? Because he used to be a regular serious guy, and then at some point he was just like, I'm going to wear the entire Crayola box worth of colors.
Like, yeah, it's weird because, like, it's not like he's popular because of that. He's an old, dorky white guy. It's like, it's not going to make you money in endorsements or something like that. It's not going to get you fame. It's just
dumb. It's just a
dumb
shtick
thing.
That's dumb.
And it doesn't seem like he gets any benefit from it. So.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's just his shtick, I guess. Whatever, Craig Sager, cut it out. It's funny, too. There's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube about with athletes making fun of his suits. Do you ever see that? There's one, I think, where Shaq or Garnett tells him he's like, what are you going to do first? And he's like, first, you need to go home and burn that suit.
Shaq. That sounds like a Shaq one.
Yep. I'm going to give you some money to buy a new suit.
That's awesome.
Yep. All right, so that's going to do it, I think, for this week, except for our shout-outs, man. Do you have any particular shout-outs you want to get to?
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you.
Yeah, I will shout out our good friend, XO Christina XO on Twitter at XO Christina XO CHRISTINA. She's a huge Phillies fan, and if you're into the Phillies, you should definitely follow her. She's she's a cool chick, and that's it for me.
Cool. Actually, before I get into the rest of my shoutouts, let me remind you guys that Official Review does have tickets to the April 2nd game.
Yep. So the return of Cliff Lee.
The return of Cliff Lee, exactly. Yep. You know, if everything goes well, that should be Cliff Lee's first start.
Yep,
we'll be there that day. So if you guys are going to be at that game, or if you're just going to go to tailgate, or if you're going to go to McFadden's, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that and let us know, and we'll try to meet up.
Absolutely. We're going to get a bunch of people out. It's a Saturday game. It's a 7:05 start. We're going to get down there mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock, something like that. So we're going to get down there real early. So definitely, as many people want to join us, so it's going to be a blast. So
yeah, absolutely.
Come on out.
We'll be down to hang out with any of you guys and meet face-to-face. That'll be a lot of fun. Also, let me go ahead and shout out our boys over at 7th and Patterson. That's 7thandpatterson.com. They are having a contest. They're also on Twitter at 7th and Patterson, the number 7. They're having a contest right now where they're giving away Phillies tickets. And it pretty much works like Streak for the Cash on ESPN, where you have to pick several games in a row to be – once you've won them, then you're in the running for the Phillies tickets. And I think if you win like 15 in a row, then you automatically like win tickets.
Nice.
Also, another one of our Twitter followers, at Morning Viewer, hit me up saying that they got tickets to – I want to say it's the April 29th game. Don't quote me on that. You can check our Twitter feed. I believe it's April 29th game against the Mets. It's a Friday game. They procured all 185 tickets for the rooftop section at Citizens Bank, and they're trying to get a really huge tailgate down there for that. So if you guys are thinking about tailgating or you're going to be around for that weekend, definitely try to try to meet up for that game as well. Let me get to with our other shout-outs. There's at Kari Van Horn. That's KariVanHorn. She's really cool. Definitely follow her. Also, Deal in Cali. That's DEAL, the letter N, CALI. She's a really huge Phillies fan. She's now in California, displaced Philadelphian. There's at Patrick _ D League, that's the letter D and the word league. They run another podcast that's pretty cool. Definitely check that out. There's also our boy at Phocion, PHOCION. Also, our buddy at Christian K West. I think he's just started another sports blog. I know he's an up and coming sports writer / journalist. He's trying to get into that. So check him out. It's at Christian K West. Also, another one of our longtime followers at Trish X the X Fish. Trish X the X Fish with the letters X is there. That's gonna do it for our shoutouts, man. That's gonna do it for mine. I think that's gonna be it for the week.
Oh, you know what? I want to shout out. If you guys like our intro, you should check out our boy at Small Pro. He's the one that did it for us, and he did a really good job. So follow him, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, that's my buddy Jamil. It's at Small Pro, at Small Pro on Twitter. Small Professor. If you just Google Small Professor, really, you'll find a lot of hip hop beats and things like that he's done. definitely give him a follow. That's going to do it for us this week, man. Anything else you got to say?
We got Cliff Lee.
That's
what
right.
Up.
What up with that? We got Cliff Lee. We'll catch you guys next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Later.
World champions. World f***ing champions.